This week, along with many of our churches, our own congregation has been coming together each evening for prayer. As with all public praying, we draw it to a close by saying Amen. But this term is used in other aspects of our worship. For example, when we sing, sometimes the word Amen is sung. And even when we hear preachers preach or we hear others pray, there is the Amen which is sounded out throughout the church itself. The question is this just tradition? Is this another example of routine? Is there a biblical meaning to this? Why is it that we say Amen? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So reads the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 6, verse 13. Nearly 80 times throughout the Bible, the word Amen in our English Bibles is found. This alone should impress upon us something of its prominence. In addition, we should keep in mind that sometimes the word is used either as a way of indicating a response, but even sometimes it can be the very name of the Lord himself. We read of how the word Amen is used as a noun, as the name of Christ in Revelation 3, verse 14. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. In this instance, the content of the verse aids our understanding. These things saith the Amen is simply this. These things saith, and we might then say, he that is true, or he that is certain, he that is therefore faithful. That's why John goes on. The one is faithful and a true witness because he is the Amen. He is truth himself. That helps us, Christian, because at the heart of the word, either in the Hebrew, and it has its root, its origin in the Semitic and the Hebrew language, but either in the Hebrew or in the Greek, the concept of truth is fundamental to the word. It's at the very heart of when we say Amen. As we know, it is used in the New Testament many times, but as I've just indicated, it is of a Hebrew origin, and therefore it retains the same meaning throughout Old and New Testament scriptures. Now, probably one of the most bizarre facts about this word is where it is first used, or when it is first used. And that's in Numbers 5 and 22. In maybe a sort of difficult chapter to grasp at first and towards the end, we read of how adultery may be suspected in a woman, and there was to be this trial through waters, the water which would produce a strange effect. Now, putting aside the details surrounding that occasion, what we find is that at the end of it, in verse 22, the woman was to agree to this, and she does so twice by saying Amen and Amen. And the thought is this: if I am guilty, so let it be as pronounced. Why? Because there's no hiding from truth. The heart needs to assent to truth, the truth of God. So that should be at the heart of our understanding as we try to come to terms with, you know, what the word means, and then why as Christians we use it in the first place. What we then discover is that throughout the Old Testament, that the word becomes the response of the people of God collectively. We should maybe say more specifically, corporately. That's how we often associate the word Amen, isn't it? Maybe around our table in our homes, if we have that time where we can spend with families, we have a meal someone might lead in prayer and give thanks for the food, and we give thanks to this, we agree to this, and so we come together and we say Amen. And then maybe more commonly is the idea of in a church setting, in prayer meetings, just as I've mentioned, or as the minister is led in prayer from the pulpit, so we say Amen. And it's really important that we understand that we don't do this just because we've always done this. I'm not dispensing with tradition. I'm not saying that we should never think of things which are done and keep on doing them, but always understand the why. Why do we do these things? Why is it that we come together? And why would we want to say Amen in the first place? If someone who says they're a preacher or pastor would pray something that's heretical, You're not to say amen to it, something that is far removed from the word of God. And then the church says amen, then that shows ignorance, because we're not to consent to that which isn't truth, but we are to assent, we are to consent to the truth of God. So the onus is upon the one who leads in prayer and what is being prayed to make sure it is in accordance to the truth of God, so that we can say before God, amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, it's listed many times. Each time when some pronouncement is made, particularly the curses that were made, and all the people shall say amen. Dr. Paisley would often remind us of this, wouldn't he, in his ministry, when he would lead in prayer, and his famous words, and all the people of God shall say amen. And of course, when there was maybe not the volume of response as he so desired, he would remind us to say it again. And now, while that was in many ways unique to his ministry, it was very much Mosaic and biblical. So fundamentally, this is how we understand it. In a setting such as congregational worship, we are responding to praise, which is given to God. We are responding to prayer, which is offered to God. We are responding to the preaching that should bring us to God. And we are consenting, we are agreeing to this. We desire it with all of our heart. There is also this sort of committing ourselves to fulfill the word of God. I think that's there in it as well, that when we say amen, that we're committing ourselves to the vow, that we understand what the truth of God is and what it demands of us, and we are agreeing to it that it might be lived out in our life and seen in us. So all of this that we have looked at, it reminds us that we must be careful not to use the word flippantly or in a setting where God's truth is not in view. And it's really important that we keep these things in mind. We're not just going to casually throw the word about, because it always relates to the truth of God. Another thing before I finish is this. You will often hear preachers say that the phrase verily, verily, or truly, truly is the same thing as amen, amen. And that's right, that's true, that's good teaching. And we know this because it was the method of our Saviour. I guess the most well-known example is his discourse with Nicodemus, John 3, verse 3, for example. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus does not wait for Nicodemus to say amen to that. He doesn't need to, because the Lord has prefaced what he has said with truth. Consider this, the Lord did not wait for the close of his message to bring the amen. He introduces this teaching, doubly so, with the stamp of divine authority. Nicodemus, the Lord is saying, what I say to you does not need to be rubber stamped. This is God's truth. It comes from God. It is his word. It is his truth, unchanged and unchanging. You need the work of the Spirit of God in your heart. So my friend, every time we hear the word of God being brought to us, we must be born again. And the commands of God that demand of us what they demand. In a way, we must consent to it. We must agree to it, because it is sent from God. It is his truth. It is his word. So next time we use the word amen, we will remember precisely why and what it means, that we are wholeheartedly agreeing to the truth of God.